The content here is for informational purposes only, should not be taken as legal, business, tax, or investment advice, or be used to evaluate any investment or security, and is not directed at any investors or potential investors in any A16Z fund. For more details, please see a16z.com/disclosures.
Welcome to the A16Z podcast. I'm Michael Copeland. You already know how talented Andre Iguodala is as a basketball player. The Golden State Warrior was named NBA Finals MVP in the Warriors' victory last season. What you may not know is that Iguodala signed with the Warriors in part to be near Silicon Valley and the tech scene. Turns out Iguodala knows tech. And in a conversation with A16Z's Jeff Jordan, he talks about his relationship with tech as a professional athlete and also as a businessman. Jeff Jordan, a hardcore Warriors fan, starts things off.
As some of you may notice, I've done a little wardrobe change, and I'm wearing my Warriors NBA championship shirt from last year.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I plan to buy the new one this year, too, so let us know how that goes. So a lot of you may know Andre. For me, it was probably the most interesting, compelling story in sports last year, where a star player subordinated his personal goals to the team goals in a way that was incredibly helpful to the team. And then when the team needed him at the end, he stepped in and was Finals MVP. So I for me, that's the epitome of sports. So, I appreciate that and just love watching it. So
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That said, I'd love to see you start this year.
Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about this, but one of the factors for you coming to California was thinking about post-career and an interest in technology. So you've really dived in and tried to immerse yourself in technology. How do you decide what to get involved in? How did you work on your initial approach?
Well, I sit down with my financial advisor, my business manager, and we talk about, first things that interest me. Because it has to be something I have a passion for or liking to that's organic. I don't want to do anything that doesn't fit who I am. And then we look at the benefits and do our homework. And as you've seen, Rudy and myself have been doing a lot of work over the past couple of years, just trying to get our feet wet. And now that, we're kind of up to our ankles, we feel like we can dive in and take on some more responsibilities. But it's been a lot of fun. Just looking for that challenge and enjoying seeing how I can play a part in business development.
And I mean, you guys have been really systematic about how you've gone about it and really have immersed yourself. So that, it has been a commitment of your time.
Yes. But that's been the fun part. When I first came into this league, we have a rookie transition program. It's called RTP, where all the rookies come in and they give you all these scary statistics of, the average career of an NBA player is 5.4 years, I think it is. So you're not even guaranteed to make it out your rookie contract. And then the sad truth is most guys have spent all their money after the rookie contract because they think there's another after. So they're trying to prepare you for life after basketball. And coming here was really something that I was thinking about life after basketball, and this would be the perfect place to kind of make that transition. So you learn at that program you're going to have a lot of time on your hands. And, having a lot of time on your hands at 23, 24, it's easy to fill that time up. It's just plenty of bad things. But as you get older, you mature a little bit. And then being in this space that I am now, I find myself having time to, have an immense amount of information to take in, to learn, and then to try to incorporate my brand into.
And so in what kind of capacity do you feel you can help the companies most?
Well, I think I want to do it differently than we've seen before. And as you've seen each generation, you've seen athletes, the way they do their marketing, it's become the cookie cutter deals as of late. And I wanted to get away from that. Everyone kind of wants to model themselves after how Michael Jordan did it. Michael Jordan kind of changed the landscape of how athletes market themselves. You get paid, you pitch a product, you get a commercial, and that's pretty much the extent of it. You may get lucky like Michael Jordan to have your own shoe line with Nike, which turns into $2 billion per year in sales, but that's just one guy. So for me, I wanted to do differently. I wanted to, how can I take my brand and implement that into the business system and vice versa? You know, their brand helping my brand helping their brand. You know, how do I affect their group of consumers and vice versa? They bring their side to the basketball side, which is becoming a global sport. And I think it's number two in the world, and it's moving up closer on soccer globally.
Oh, it's really
it's moving in on it.
Yeah.
You know, 92, the Dream Team, has brought basketball a long way.
Which are funny stories, by the way. As celebrities and athletes get merged in technology, how should tech companies think about working with them? You're trying to evolve the way you work with tech companies. How should tech companies work with you or other companies?
Well, I think that's very tricky. It's tricky because athletes and entertainers wanting to work with tech companies has become a vanity play where it's the cool thing to do. And a lot of people don't understand what goes into that. You know, they just say, oh, it's cool, so I'm going to get into it. Well, next year you may not know. It may not be cool anymore. So I think for tech companies, they have to know who they're involving themselves with. And I also think just like they vet VCs on who they take money from, you got to do the same thing with who you involve yourself with. You know, from an entertainment or athlete standpoint, and those same things flow in both worlds.
Yep, I agree with that completely. So one of the companies you're involved with is one that I'm involved with too, which is Walker & Company. Do you want to describe a little bit what Tristan's trying to build there?
Yeah, well, Tristan is very unique in the world he's come from, and he's done it before. He's been successful before, so he knows how it works. But his story was very compelling to me, and I've seen it firsthand. You know, we travel a lot, and sometimes you forget your toiletry bag. So whenever we go to Walgreens or CVS, we need the things we need, you know, for grooming. And we're going down. It's always the same aisle, and it's always the same bottom shelf, and it's always this much space of our products, and you got to filter through what you need, or you got to concoct some things together to make it work. So I've seen firsthand his pain. So he came up with this idea of products for people of color, because you know, our skin is just naturally different. And his first product was the razor. And it's funny because he's like, you know, do you use a razor? He knew my answer. No, I don't use a razor. You know, I use clippers, because we don't use razors because the way our hair grows in our skin is curly and more coarse. So the way our hair grows, we when we do shave, we get razor bumps because our hair grows back into our skin and it causes bumps. So we don't use razors. So we came up with this genius razor, the way it's weighted and the way you shave your face and pre and after shave and the lotion. And it's gotten some tremendous feedback as far as men of color are actually using razors now and how that's going to transform into more products for us. And he's a genius because he's done his homework and he's found out the actual numbers of how much money people of color spend on cosmetics, which I think we're the biggest spender in that. So the market is just amazing. And just hearing a story, not just from the financial side or, you know, the upside of, you know, being an investor and how much you can make out of, but just the difference of in people's lives that he's making.
No, it's funny. The personal care for people of color aisle that Andre's mentioned, one of the reasons that we invested is one of the leading selling SKUs is a box that has Clyde Frazier on it. Some of you may remember when I was in high school, was an all-star in the NBA. So there's a picture of a now retired 40-year career that's coming. Now, so I remember pitching Walker & Co. to you at first, and I said it's a shaving system for people of color, and you recoiled and just went, no, shaving, no. And it was so funny. So here's a guy who'll take a charge on Shaquille O'Neal. But the concept of shaving was there. What do you personally get out of the interactions with the tech companies?
Well, I really enjoy the business development side of it and the data trending. You know, you kind of you get into something, you see a business grow, you learn a lot from it. You learn from a lot of people that you deal with. Their lives are changing. It's just a fun process. You know, it's similar to basketball, you know, being a GM. You come in from scratch. You put a team together. You put all the right pieces in the right place, and you just watch it grow. You know, you learn each and every day about yourself. And when I'm working with a product or people that I really enjoy working with, it's just an awesome thing seeing it come together from scratch.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the same satisfactions that I get at athletics. It's pretty interesting, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's like winning a championship is like the greatest thing. And you learn so much about yourself doing that. And then when you're working with other companies, you take, you know, some of those situations. It may not be exactly the same. You know, it may not be like you're taking a last second shot, but you got, you know, you got to get your information in, or you got to get your work done within a day, and you're overflowed, and you might have to work 14, 15 straight hours. But I've been through that situation on the court of having to sacrifice for my team and doing whatever it took to win, and just transferring that to, you know, the tech world or whoever I may be working with. And when you see the results, you know, you get the satisfaction of, you know, winning.
Yep. Have you taken anything from the tech community that's useful to you as an athlete?
Definitely. Every day. The tech world uses a lot of data analysis, and you definitely transferred into the basketball world. You look at, we have a system where every shot and every movement is tracked for every team. So you know where a guy shot from on the court. You know his percentage from that exact spot where he shoots from. You know how many dribbles he takes. So the data from the outside world or from the tech world that's always been used for years has finally got to the basketball world, and it's helped us on the basketball court. But the thing is, you have to find the right data. You have to find the right thing, the right analytic for your team. And we found that last year, interesting enough, our number was the amount of passes we had per game. When we had 325 more, 325 passes or more, we were like 50-1. It was something crazy. And then when we had less than 300 passes, we were like, I don't know, you know, 20-10. It was just crazy. So when it got to those clutch moments or those clutch games, when we got to the finals, we knew exactly what we needed to do to give ourselves the best possible chance of winning. And that was huge for us last year.
Yeah. So the system you're describing, I think I've seen a couple companies do it. They literally track the movement of every athlete on the court for in every game.
Yes.
And then it's a big data capture that you can then analyze. Okay, if you got LeBron on the right mm-hmm. wing, if you make him go right, left, right, that's right. This
yes.
right. Yeah, the right, left, shoot, you know, what's the best outcome? So you're literally at that level of scientific precision in preparing?
Yes, but there's you've got to take a grain of salt with everything. And sometimes too much information can be bad information. And what was important for us was finding the right information. You know, you got a million things you're looking at. You got to find exactly which is the right for your talent group, for your IQ group. All those things play into that part. And I think it's the same for businesses. You know, they get all this data, and now you have to figure out exactly what to do with it in order for your company to be successful. And for us, it was the pass. It was turnovers. Like, we found like three or four things out of thousands of things that we knew would get us over the top.
Signal from the noise. So in Moneyball, they showed the war between the old seat of the pants scouts and the new quants. Is that happening in the NBA?
It does, because you have certain teams like the Houston Rockets, for example. Their whole front office is basically analytics people, you know, and not too many of their front office people actually had experience playing basketball. You know, they watched it, or they might have played it, you know, in the rec league or something like that. But they didn't,
like me.
Right.
Okay.
But they didn't have any NBA experience. So when you see front offices like that, they tend to just throw numbers on the court. You know, they forget about characteristics. They forget about, you know, basketball IQ with players. And they forget about, you know, just because it works for one guy doesn't mean he's going to mesh well with another guy while they're playing together. And that's what I mean by too much information can be bad information. Yeah. But for us, we found the right information and putting the right pieces in to fulfill each role on the court. Because you're still playing with five guys and they got to play as one. So you see Moneyball a lot more in the NBA, but you got to have the proper balance of, you know, human behavior and analytics.
Yeah, no, it's funny. The challenge of the big data guys is the companies don't really know the game. And so Right. They're trying to map into it and figure it out. Do you use data and technology as an individual to help your fitness, your performance, your game readiness?
Yes, well, you have to. And then we spoke briefly about this, about LeBron, knowing which way to send him, you know, knowing how to make the game difficult for the best player in the world. But also, you know, I track my sleep every day. And it's funny because I did a small thing with Jawbone where they would track how many hours of sleep I was getting and then how that correlated to my performance on the basketball court. So it showed when I got 6 hours of sleep or less, this is my shooting percentage. When I had 7 hours of sleep, this is my shooting percentage. When I had 8 hours, it showed. It was amazing because I didn't know that they had all this data until afterwards. So I'm not going into the game like, well, I slept 8 hours a night, so I'm going to play well. I didn't know this until 2 months after, and that was showing. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like my free throws were so much better when I got sleep.
Yeah.
Now it's like I'm going to sleep tonight. So
we're going to send you home to go to sleep.
Yeah. So
that's it for Andre. Yeah.
But it's definitely helped me out. And human behavior, you know, as humans, we are, you know, we're trained to be creatures of habit. And we have these certain habits about ourselves. And when you use certain analytics and you use certain platforms that we use in NBA and different teams use, that's when you learn certain habits about guys. And when I'm on a court, I know I can force some of the top players out of their habits and make the game harder for them, which in turn gives my team a better chance to win.
Yeah. There was, and on the sleep thing, there was a study done at Stanford a number of years back that took the men's basketball team, had them do a proficiency shooting, you know, free throw percentage thing, under their normal sleep, and then they begged them to get 8 hours. And the shooting went up 20-30%.
Yes.
I mean, it would, and I was talking to Coach Dawkins about it. I said, can't you get him to sleep? He goes, no.
Yeah, college students, yeah. That's probably the hardest place to get kids to try to sleep.
Yeah,
it's college, period.
Virtual reality. Do you think it's going to come into the sports world anytime soon? Or do you see it at all?
That's a tough one. The one thing that you can't simulate is live action. And I think that's why you see some of the crazy evaluations in sports now, because it's the only thing left. Sports and concerts are the only things left that you can only experience them live. They don't have the same effect, you know, tape delayed or seeing it later. So virtual reality, I saw at the NBA Tech Conference, you kind of put on a headset and then you can subscribe to you have a seat. Like you're a season ticket holder and you can subscribe to VR seat and you can be on the court and Spike Lee's next to you at the Garden and it's like you're at the game. I don't know how that's going to translate to live. Like I just can't see it. It's just something about especially if you're courtside, there's a possibility of someone diving into you, you know, I don't know if you could simulate that, but, who knows? You know, the technology's there. I think it could be great for the game if it's done right, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, no, that's spectating. And actually, there's a company that's working with football players, particularly quarterbacks, on virtual reality for rapid-fire decision-making. I mean, you know, there might not be a basketball analogy, but it's an interesting application.
No, I think that could work.
Yeah.
When you can put guys in game-like situations to practice in, because that's the hardest thing to – you can't simulate games either. Like when we're in practice, coach says go through a game-like, but there's nothing like being in an actual game. So I think VR will help for training, but you see that in technology today. Like I'm a huge golfer, and I have just about every golf training device there is out there from technology standpoint that's attached to my iPhone, knowing hand playing, clubs playing, you know, am I going in and out? Am I out to in on my swing? So those things have helped me become a better golfer had I not had them.
As good as Curry?
No, not even close. Something's wrong with him. He just... Yeah. I don't know. It's something there that makes them good at everything.
Yeah, which essentially is there. What impact is technology having on the business of sports? I mean, so is typically it used to be broadcast television. You'd have one, the game of the week or whatever it is. Now it seems like every game's televised. You get all the, you get an infusion of content. You're getting time shifting. Does that change the sport?
I think it does. It's helped. I think it's helped the sport because there's more engagement, and owners are setting up arenas to be fan friendly, to where the owners know exactly who's buying what, who's purchasing what, who's in their seat at what times, at what point of the game. Do fans go get concessions? It's kind of taken a life of its own as far as just bringing the fans and the business closer together, because it used to be, kind of what do our fans want. Now you can kind of get a feel of exactly what they're into, what jerseys are selling the most, what color uniforms, attract the fans to buying more. And then even with players, when we're on the road, when we're on the planes, we're keeping up with every single game. Yeah. So that's a big thing for us. If we're flying out to Indiana, but Indiana has a game that night as well, and we can't see the game, we keep an updates. We know, our scouting. We know who's doing what, and we know what to prepare for the next day.
Yep. Social media, being a celebrity and an athlete, how do you think of Twitter? What's the purpose of it for you?
There's a lot, and you have to be more politically correct than ever now, but you have to be smart with it. I think it's just a way to give the fans a small piece of who you are. Not everything, but just give them bits and pieces. Keep the engagement, the interaction, because it's always going to be good for the game when the fans feel like they're closest to the players. But it can get dangerous at times. They say all press is good press, but when it comes to Twitter, not all press is good press.
Yeah, I know. There have been a few notable examples of that of late, yeah.
There's been a lot. Yeah. But I think it's just all about branding. It's good and bad for the game, because I'm seeing high school kids and I'm seeing elementary kids with Twitters and Instagrams, and it's like they're branding themselves already, and it's like you're not quite there yet, So it's putting a little bit too much pressure on our kids to try to be a certain type of person instead of just developing, like most of you had developed. You didn't have all that stuff. You just were a kid and then you just grew up. Well, now they're trying to grow up at a younger age.
Anyone have any questions for Andre?
I am not afraid of any questions.
If you can imagine any technology that you would like to see introduced either to the game of basketball or in your life, what would that be? And if you could just imagine it to be, what would it be? Because you got some of the smartest people on the planet sitting in the room that might be able to do it for you.
That is a very good question. From a basketball standpoint, I just saw something recently. I don't know if I can share it, but he has a device basically where you can kind of slide it on your body and you actually shoot a shot. And
I've seen it.
It gives you your metrics on your motions in your shot. I don't know how accurate it is, but it can train you to get the exact same motion every single shot. And we hear this a lot when we're in practice, is shoot game shots. It's hard to simulate that, because adrenaline's flowing, someone's in your face, the crowd's there's an intensity there. So if you can know exactly what your metrics were shooting a game shot, you can simulate that over and over and over again. Because like playing golf, you can do that. You can get everything together, but basketball is a little different. You got movements and all different types of ways, angles, somebody's in your face. But if you could simulate that, that would be amazing.
Technology for recovery. So is it the same as it was when you entered the league?
Totally different. There's so much technology used now. What used to be when we came in the league, it was just a stem and ice. So you get a stem unit, you slap it on, you turn it up, and you get the pulse. And basically all it does is teaches the body to block out pain, but the pain's still there. I didn't know this, but that's what they had. Yeah. And now there's different technologies to where we use a system called Catapult. Tracks our heart rate, tracks our It tracks our every movement on the court, our pounding on our knees. It tracks everything. So it knows.
Is it a wearable?
It's a wearable. So you kind of slide it in your back, and it goes to this computer, and it basically tracks your loading.
Yeah.
So how fast are you stopping, and how fast do you start? That's all it's tracking, and it knows how well we play after having a hard practice versus a light practice versus our load throughout the rest of the week.
Back
to back. So coach knows by looking at the catapult system, hey, we need to have a light practice. Okay, it's been light the last couple of days. We need to ramp it up to get these guys ready for a long road trip in a week or so. So we use a lot of different technologies. Like I said, I use technologies for my knees now because I'm getting a little older, had a lot of miles. I have two different, one's an ice machine and then one are boots that basically flush out old blood to get new blood in, yep, to speed up their recovery. All these little devices and systems that you can write off through the team.
Are these training room things or these sleep at night
things?
They
used to be in the training room, but now it's like everyone has them at home.
Yeah.
So it's one called Game Ready. It's basically a sleeve. You put it on, put ice and water in it.
I've seen it.
And then it puts pressure with ice on your knees. So you're flushing out old blood and you're getting ice, which reduces swelling. And then I have these boots that come from like the foot all the way up here.
Stylish.
Yeah, and I put these... I wear these before after every shoot around game days, and I'm going there for about 40 minutes, fall asleep, pressure, flush out all the old blood, and then just be ready to go and be fresh for the game.
So pretty good start to the season.
Pretty good. Don't expect that every game.
Yeah. not 50 against a playoff team.
We made it look like it's easy, but it's very hard to do that. So
I thought Kerr was a pretty good coach, but now I think it's Luke Walton.
Or it might be the players.
With that, we'd like to thank Andre for coming and sharing time with us.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.